In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These past weeks, scenes have filled our minds and our lives with desperate pictures of people wading through water, sorting through debris for remnants of a lost home, sitting or standing on bus seats just so they don't get swept away, and of course, people clinging to planes in the hope that they can be taken to freedom. Many of these poignant images are perhaps of natural and also disasters of our own human making, and each have been accompanied by people taking desperate measures for desperate times, with actions that are far removed from measured, carefully planned patterns of predictable living, of usual rules and sensibilities, as lives have been turned upside down and into disarray, urging people to flee. Today, the lectionary places before us the story of the Syrophoenician woman. While she's unnamed in the scriptures, we know as a Gentile woman, she's on the edge, an outcast, and she is desperate to find healing for her daughter. She is clearly motivated to go to great lengths to seek a cure, an answer, an end to the shame and the pain of exclusion, as well as the physical demands of her daughter's possession. And she gives us some hope for those moments in our lives when we too are desperate or struggling with our life and indeed our faith. This woman has confidence. She approaches Jesus without a personal invitation to eat or come down from a tree or come to tea, but takes it upon herself to go in boldly to see him, to seek Jesus and find him, which she clearly does with all her heart. To seek Jesus on this occasion, who it seems simply was tired and didn't want to be interrupted. She enters not with the subtlety of someone touching the hem of his garment, rather is bold, present, and claims his promise with a persistence as we still see today in parents and family members whose sacrificial, even absurd actions show that they'd do almost anything for a glimmer of hope and freedom from pain for the one they love. This particular healing is one which we too hear of in the Gospel of Matthew. However, in contrast to the multiple occasions when the sick, the poor, the needy, and even their friends or relatives come to Jesus in search for transformation, Jesus does not initially display his usual warmth and expendable compassion. He reflects perhaps impatience, maybe a little compassion fatigue. And then comes the famous, seemingly strange conversation about children and crumbs and dogs, the meaning of which has been analysed by theologians for years. And yet, what scholar Brian Blono suggests, their interaction shows that she, as well as Jesus, have a transformative encounter that too precipitates a moment of joy and an experience of wholeness. And on this occasion, both mother and daughter are honored with a miracle. Barbara Taylor describes this transformation in this way. You can almost hear the huge wheel of history turning as Jesus comes to a new understanding of who he is and what he is called to do. And so, as we heard in our gospel, this scene moves to Decapolis, a city of 10 cities, and Jesus continues to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, that eyes will be opened, ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame shall leap, and the mute will shout for joy. So as we turn to our second miracle today, we hear of a different type of healing, as someone also, again, unnamed, yet called upon, as we too said in our collect today, trust God with all your heart. And this man, who cannot hear and struggles to speak, is physically brought by his faithful friends to the Lord's presence, and their collective determination, or maybe desperation, brings them all to Jesus. They clearly ignore the norms and the sensibilities of working their way through the crowd and create a sense of destruction along the way, just as another group of determined friends once did, as they lowered their friend through the roof of all things. These people, these friends, this man who cannot hear and struggles to speak, is desperate to meet Jesus for healing. They all together take desperate measures for desperate times. And in these encounters, Jesus demonstrates a palpable compassion, power, and presence. And as we heard, in this very instance, takes the man aside, spends time with him alone, raises his head with a sigh to God, his Father who made heaven and earth and all that therein is. And the command, Ephphatha, be open, accompanies a theandric action in which Jesus combines his humanity, something physical, tangible, in his very own spit, and as he places his fingers in the deaf man's ears and his hand upon his tongue. They are all indeed immediately open, and the transforming action of the divine is revealed. Be open. The action of the same fingers of hands that flung stars into space and two to cruel nails would be surrendered, brought open not only the joy of the sound as this man's life is transformed physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. A new light shines in his soul, as powerfully portrayed in Bringer's painting of the Dutch Golden Age, Christ healing a deaf mute, where this contemporary 16th century landscape portrays Jesus and the man now healed glowing in light, a light to which others are drawn to find healing and transformation. I've been wondering how much this man who could not hear and could not speak, how his life would have changed after this encounter. Clearly not simply a physical healing, but the opening of a door to something new, of being fully accepted and active in a community which hadn't happened at all till then. What would he take from this encounter with Jesus? Perhaps a deep-rooted empathy for those who too, like him, had experienced prejudice, pity, exclusion, struggle with healing. but so more. So much more then for those without the technology and tools we have today. Hearing loss, as many of us know, people feel today, can, like as would have for him, brought a sense of isolation, exhaustion, as one tries to participate in or access a conversation, to be understood or even heard. For many scholars, they have brought other thoughts to this passage. And here are just a couple more. Back in 1533, Martin Luther reflected on this scene, "Be open," and asked those listening to consider the importance of opening our ears, loosening our tongues, for we must truly hear the word of God in our ears, confess it on our lips, and believe it in our hearts. And also, through scripture, again and again and again, as we even say and heard today in our collect of purity, the prayer of preparation, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, we are reminded that God knows the longings, the desperations, as well as the joy that are in each one of our hearts. Desperation, perhaps, for ourselves, for brothers and sisters who we've seen on our screens, for those we know of in need near and far. So today, as we hear that small, short, powerful phrase commanded, to whom and to what may each and every one of us to hear the words, "Be open." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.